Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. You can maybe, if you're listening, hear my smile. That's a thing. It's a real thing. And all three of us are smiling these days, which is a good thing. A lot of times we have Max and Terry with us, but you know what? Terry's got a family thing, so we've called in a favor. Right? He's back. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you're gonna hear his voice in a second. And if you're looking at him, you're welcome, everybody. But yeah, Dave is back. Dave, great to see you again, man.
Thank you. I'm not sure how I follow up on that introduction there, Jerry. Thank you. But yeah, it's great to be on again. It's a little bit hard, and then I'd like it to get on, but it's good to pop in every so often, so to speak.
Very, very welcome to have you, man. Anytime. Obviously, we could be rolling four deep, and Dave says he wants to be on. We'll find a way to make that frame fit five. See how that would work?
I'm sure you will, mate.
And you know, I said I would do this a little bit later, but those of you who are watching also may notice Max normally just looks crisp and clean and varied, but he stayed up a little late last night, everybody. We beat United 4-0. We kind of it was a choke slam of a game, you know what I mean? So Max has earned it. So if you see Max yawning, looking a little, young fella's earned it, all right?
See, that's kind of how I see my day planning out. And then by 9 p.m. last night, I was just conked out on the couch. So it just shows the age is catching up a little bit. So fair play, Max, for sticking that one out.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm just trying to fathom the amount of drinks you had and just thinking, probably half of the first one would have put me out of commission the next day. So he's scrapping. Just saying, he's got a good heart to be back on the show this today.
I feel like you've missed out a really important part of the story, is that he got the first train home this morning, which is a badge of honour, I must say. It's been a long time since I wore that badge, but fair play, mate, fair play.
I think if I understood the concept of train travel more, right now I'm like, wait, how early is first train? I don't even know. I wish we had more trains. Sadly,
gets to about half five, and it's just like a waiting game.
Oh hell! So yeah, it was you just had an all nighter, my friend.
Yeah, you can feel yourself melting, but you've just got you've got to call upon human resilience, haven't you? Really.
Where's the where's still open at that time now in Liverpool?
The Raz, innit?
The Raz, yeah. Some things never change. Shout out to the Raz.
Good. Sponsor us, please. You know the catch will start raining.
Yeah, I'll wear it around in Winston-Salem in America, and people will be like, "Wait, what is that?" You know,
that's called the Rasco glowing, going global, isn't it? I think.
Yeah.
It takes the piss out of the "Make America Great Again" hat, basically. it's just red and got red like white text. The Ras.
Yeah, okay, I'm down with wearing, Roz, I will wear one of your hats, and I'll probably wear it all the time if you see my hair right now. Yeah. So, sponsor us, we'd love it. So we do need to really quickly drop a line on what Dave's doing nowadays, just because if you follow him on Twitter, which you probably do if you support Everton and you're on Twitter, he's shooting out a lot of content, Everton-based, but also other clubs as well. So, Dave, you want to talk to people about what you're working on right now? And I've seen a lot of really insightful content come out. And it's often stats motivated, which is your penchant. Yeah, it is your bag. You want to talk a little bit about that, though?
Yeah, so I'm employed by Reach PLC. We were formerly Trinity Mirror, who most will probably know them as. And they own the likes of the Liverpool Echo, Manchester Evening News, Newcastle Chronicle, Birmingham Live, Football London, all those kind of well-known regional outlets. My role, along with another lad, Josh Williams, who's actually definitely worth a follow. The only downside is he's a Liverpool fan, but we all have our process to bear, don't we? But he's got some really good content as well. And the pair of us have been brought in as basically analysts, scouting writers for the whole group. So, yeah, although I try and do as much Everton content as I can, there'll be a lot of Liverpool stuff in there. There'll be the Manchester-based clubs, London clubs. There's an array out there. So it's a real mixed bag, but it's enjoyable. So yeah, that's basically eats up a lot of my time, but I enjoy it, and there's definitely no complaints whatsoever from my part.
You're kind of doing a lot of the stuff you really wanted to do, like when we were talking to you. You know, you're getting to sit there and analyze stats. You're getting to sit there and apply that to like football match analysis. That seems like it's right in your wheelhouse, man.
Yeah, well, you know, it's these things, and it's for, you know, there's many people aspiring to do it, and I was like that, and they just take a lot of time and a lot of hard work, and, you know, you're going to have to put your work out there anywhere and everywhere. A lot of the time you might not even get paid, but, you know, it does pay dividends in the long term as long as you just keep at it, especially so much good content out there. If your stuff's good enough, it will be seen. Like, so obviously, Max and stuff, his stuff's brilliant. It won't be long before he's on that path once he's finished uni. And there's a few others out there. But, you know, I'm not just saying that because he's here. I'd say to him, it was just me and him, but it's true. So, you know, I'm just really lucky that I got my kind of break. And, yeah, I'm enjoying it. So long may it continue, and hopefully some more good stuff to come out.
Yeah, I just want to throw it out there, but both you guys, really, really hard workers. It's not something that, you know, came super easily for David. You know, Dave worked his ass off, and I know for a fact Max is, I mean, he's doing a pod, you know, right now after a harsh night out, because, I mean, these guys just work really hard to be able to, you know, Max is aspiring to have a career in this, and clearly he's on the path, and Dave worked his ass off to make it and get there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's one of the things, like, you know, working in like film and video here in the States, it's not just make one movie and all of a sudden everything's golden. It's constant, and you just don't stop. It's sort of your life, you know? So that's the thing, the difference in what you guys are doing and what I do. My job is a little different, and Everton is just an obsession of mine that my friends sort of know about.
Like a secret life.
Yeah, it is. It is. Like, this is this really is, you know, my identity, my secret identity. So, gents, we do need to move on to actually talk about Everton, because, you know, there's a lot to talk about. We're gonna, for the podcast listeners out there, we're gonna start with a Man United reaction. Like I said before, choke slam. It was just an absolute beatdown. And for the United listeners out there, I'm sorry for using such aggressive language, but, you know, it's one of the few times we've just absolutely beat someone down. So, hey, you know, give it to us, for God's sake. Next, we're gonna talk about the U23s. We led with this last podcast, and we talked about how we wanted to go more in depth. Well, guess what? David's here, and we're gonna go more in depth. We're gonna talk about more of the individual players that may have some first team potential. You know, the U23s are champions, and Unsworth's the manager. What are things gonna look like moving forward? It's just a lot to discuss with the U23s, and it's just timely because Dave's here. So we'll go into that, and then we'll have if you know your history quiz. It's gonna be a shootout style quiz with it's not a starting 11 quiz. And there's no math, not real math involved, Max. So it's not one of those. You can take a breath. It'll be all right.
I think if you give me math right now, I'm just saying it just melts.
Just give up immediately. And then Max passed out in his game. So we'll go to that last. But guys, United reaction, match reaction, 4-0 Everton. I want to start just to kind of be a little bit more fun. Dave, which was your favorite goal of the four? See, we just can't say this often. Normally, it's like, oh, you know, two choice of two. No, we got four choices this time. Which one of yours thought, you know what, that's the one that really, you know, got me excited?
Well, for me, I don't know. I put a thread out there today that you may not have seen. Looking at the first goal, Richarlison's goal, that for me was the favourite. Now, I know the Sigurdsson and Luka Dean strikes were unbelievable. Even Walcott's finish was fantastic. But what I love about that first goal was the detail that's obviously gone into that on the training ground. Because hopefully people will listen to this and go and have a look at the thread on Twitter. Basically, that goal and the build-up to it was a complete carbon copy to Jagielka's goal against Arsenal, in the sense that how we set up from the throw, where the throw was delivered into, the flick on. And then obviously on Sunday, Richarlison's done that fantastic overhead kick. What a lot of people, including myself, missed against Arsenal was he went to do that exact same overhead kick. But Calvert-Lewin gets in the way and then the ball kind of bobbles towards Jagielka, thankfully, and he scores it. But just to know that they've obviously spent a lot of time on the training ground perfecting that whole move, and then to see it in such a big game lead to a goal, it was just fantastic. Great goal.
Yeah, I was gonna pretend that I had not seen that thread and like and like pretend like it was my analysis and just watch your face, David, but you beat me to it. Totally ruined it. Like I didn't even like it.
You would have broke my heart there, Jerry, I'll be honest.
I was literally just going to sit here and bite my lip and watch you. No, it's an awesome thread. I read it, and the only reason I didn't like it is because I didn't want to blow my cover. No, it's
one.
But it, honestly, it's one of those things where when I watch a lot of games, I don't understand why more teams aren't thinking about those types of opportunities. You know, I mean, I'm not an experienced, you know, coach, but when I was coaching, we always had one kid who could throw the ball a mile, and we treated those like corner kick plays. And honestly, we scored often on those long throws just because for some reason teams are not as prepared for them. They're not thinking of them as goal scoring opportunities. But when you got a guy like Luka Dean, who can put it like right there at the, you know, at the kind of, I guess, near where the corner of the six.
Yeah.
Putting it right there for that guy to flick on. I mean, why not?
It makes sense, really. If you actually think about the technique, it's, you know, with a cross, a lot of the time you can put it in and around an area, but it's more difficult with your foot to control where you deliver a ball. Whereas a throw in, it's a lot easier to just kind of put it in a specific area. So you can then attack that, especially with throw-ins. Everyone's in a standing position. If you can just get an attack enough to get a flick on, as they've been trying to do, and then you've got someone of Richarlison's quality to do something with it in the middle, then it does make sense. And there's been rumours that Liverpool brought in a throwing coach this season, which initially was sniggered at, but it speaks for itself. And when you think of how successful Delap was at Stoke for those couple of seasons as well, I mean, I remember one time a goalkeeper kicking it out for a corner rather than a throw-in, just simply to avoid a Delap throw. Were you around on the Delap days, Jerry?
I don't think so.
I mean, just to give a bit, Max would back me up here, to give it a bit of context, there's a guy called Rory Delap at Stoke around the late noughties, and he had this unbelievable, like, cannon-like throw that he could put straight into the box from... Sometimes it felt he was near the halfway line, but it was just phenomenal. And it got to a stage where Stoke had like ball boys with towels ready. Yeah, you remember, don't you, Max? Yeah. I let Max finish it off, but it was it became such an asset for them that teams were petrified of it going out for throwing.
No, yeah, 100%. And you know, they had quite a like common trait of being like a rugby team, basically, just how rough they were. And whenever they used to get a throw in, Stoke fans used to cheer, like, you know, there's a goal. Yeah. But, you know, more often than not, it led to a goal scoring opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's right.
Max, which of the? Oh, by the way, I'm going to look up DeLapp Stoke now. I've got to start.
I've got to check that out.
But Max, your favorite goal from the weekend? Because I got to be honest, the Richarlison goal was my favorite because of exactly the fact of the design of it. What was yours?
Mm. Oh, it would have been that Gylfi Sigurdsson corner if it wasn't for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What a the good call! Capacity. Great call!
I don't know, 3-0 up and you score a corner, like that's when you know you're taking the piss. But I'd just like to back the corner of the creator of the first goal, Luca Dean. Again, similar points to the first goal. We're becoming, you know, a consistent threat from set pieces now. That was originally from a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out on the half volley across his body, strikes it perfectly, lifts the goal off his hinges. Like, it was just when that third goal went in, as I said, it was as if we were taking the piss, you know what I mean? It was like it became a more relaxed atmosphere around the ground, and it was like celebratory. But yeah, it was really amusing to see, like, particularly those first three goals, like each one was better than the other, almost in a sense.
The technique for that one, man, the technique was just in the patience required to be able to calm yourself and kind of walk a little bit backwards to kind of
and guide it across your body. It was absolutely fantastic.
I feel like the best compliment I could give that goal was when I first watched it, I think it took a deflection on the way in. But, I mean, I suppose it varies where you watch it, but there was that many bodies there. I thought it's obviously going wide, took a deflection, it's caught De Gea off guard, maybe. But when you watch it again, as you both say, the technique is so good that it's faultless. The finish is faultless. It was a great goal.
Yeah, it's funny. Like yesterday afternoon, took Bennett out to practice some, and he's six. And what he wanted to do was practice curving in corners, like Sigurdsson, and he wanted to practice throw-ins, like Luka Dean, trying to like be, because at their age, like hardly anybody can throw the ball very well. You know, it's actually sort of hilarious the way it almost turns into like a jump shot from basketball. But sat there and practiced that for a while. And I know there had to be people watching, like, why are they practicing throw-ins? But for the exact reason why you practice throw, because it's an additional weapon that your team can utilize. So let's get on to most important player, you thought, because everybody played well, you know. Max, who'd you think the most important player was yesterday?
Gylfi Sigurdsson. He's just absolutely sensational. I'd go as far to say that was his best game in an Everton kit. I think that was his fifth career goal against Manchester United too, so it's good to see he's got that in his locker, you know. Big goal against big teams. It was just so intelligent. And when I was watching Match of the Day, I think Martin Keown hit the nail on the head. He is, you know, he's the brain, isn't he?
Mm.
And he, you know, he polarizes opinion because on his off days, he's almost like a passenger. But when he's got that influence over a game, when his, you know, when his first touch is there and he runs, he closes down every ball and he's playing with conviction, like he's just a joy to watch. And that goal, how it kind of went from back to front in the counter-attack and transition was absolutely fantastic. And I think Idrissa Gueye deserves a compliment for that too and how he carried it forward, because I know his decision-making on the ball has been heavily criticised since he's been at the club. And, you know, if there's any indicator that it's getting better, he did lay that ball off, which is still a lot to do for Sigurdsson. Mm. But, you know, that's Sigurdsson's bread and butter, isn't it? Getting, receiving the ball from range and finding the target. To play devil's advocate, I do agree that, you know, United were nowhere near as good. You know, they didn't make it as anywhere near as competitive as they should have been. And, you know, they were half-heartedly closing balls down and, you know, they were losing every first, second and third ball. But, you know, take nothing away from Gylfi Sigurdsson. I thought he was absolutely sensational. The assist for Walcott's goal as well.
Yeah, Matic was really slow closing down Sigurdsson on that goal. Really slow. Didn't really get tight on him at all. But Sigurdsson's pressing work has, I mean, I knew he was a hard worker, but when you actually see how many people he closes down and how he's closing down those passing lanes, his work with Calvert-Lewin kind of up front, like work with them working together, it's like they're starting to actually think together and they're on board with what Silva's trying to do. It's really impressive. Sigurdsson's the first name I wrote down. I wrote down some others though. Dave, who do you think was the most important player yesterday? And if you thought Sigurdsson, cool, but if you want to go with someone else, that's totally fine.
Sigurdsson again. I will go make a small comment on Sigurdsson because he was phenomenal again, and I love how De Gea was getting a lot of criticism for the goal they conceded against them, but for me, I just think he hits the ball so true and so quick that he doesn't give the goalkeeper any time to prepare to kind of make that save. Which, at what point do we credit the player for taking that shot rather than blaming the goalkeeper? No, none of us, and even the pundits in the studios, you know, they haven't got a patch on their goalkeeper knowledge or skill compared to De Gea. And for him to struggle with it, for me, that's a credit to the player who takes the shot. But he's fantastic again. And just Sigurdsson on the whole, you know, certainly a couple of months ago, it was quite popular to be calling for him to be dropped. And, you know, people are counting how many touches he has. And as Max touched on, how he's invisible. And this is what they were all kind of clinging on to a little bit when Everton weren't playing well. But, you know, I put a tweet out on it yesterday. It's something I've been saying behind the scenes a little bit to a few in work. If we were to change the system the way people want, so basically pull Sigurdsson out so we can play a different formation was the argument. If we do that, straight away you need that amended formation to find 13 league goals and then some to justify his removal from the squad, which for me just seems ludicrous. Max has said he was the best player on the pitch and he's been the best player for a few times, and you know, he'll always guarantee at least one, you know, defence splitting pass in a game, and it might not always be converted, but he was phenomenal again. I probably not my maybe second man to match to Calvert-Lewin, just because he had a difficult game at Fulham like they all did, but either side of that really, he's been phenomenal, and again, he was just doing all that hard work, and Everton have got the fourth best pressing numbers in the Premier League, and I think a lot of it's down to his hard work at the top, impressing the centre-backs, and I wasn't surprised Everton found it quite easy yesterday because stylistically, United couldn't have come up with a worse side. Our press is fantastic. They're terrible with the ball at the back. So a lot of it goes to Calvert-Lewin, so he gets a nod off me.
Yeah, he's literally doing everything except scoring goals, and I feel like the goals are going to come. You know, he's just doing a lot of stuff that other strikers don't really deem important. They almost feel like some strikers feel like they're too good for it. You know what I mean? Like they shouldn't have to deal with it. I'm not talking about any particular striker.
I was going to say, maybe some are. Maybe these elite strikers are going to score 30 goals a season, fine. But, you know, Calvert-Lewin isn't going to do that. But instead, he's identified, listen, I'm not going to score 20 goals a season, but I'm going to make myself indispensable in other ways, and hopefully the goals will come, which is a credit to him.
I want to spare a thought for somebody who wasn't really supposed to be starting yesterday, but because of the suspension to Gomez, Max's man crush. You know what? He came in and defended well. He played well. I was worried. I was worried because I actually thought he was still injured. I thought he was still hurt. But
More touches than any other Everton player on the pitch.
Good. What are we going to do with this guy? This is so, it's like, you know, when he comes in, we play well and we defend well, clean sheets. You know?
It's weird because in the preview for the game, we were kind of leaning more in favour of seeing, because I mean, the initial discussion started on
Tom Davies.
Tom Davies. That, for me, was kind of predicated on, if Man United play McTominay, then you kind of just put Davies in there to match for legs. But Schneiderlin 100% compensated for that perfectly, you know. And as always, when he's on form, he complemented the defence excellently.
I'm feeling very smug about myself because after Everton beat Cardiff, I basically put it down to Schneiderlin. And if you remember, the landscape was a lot different then because we were terrible. We haven't been winning games, and it was just looking a little bit precarious, wasn't it? And we went and won 3-0 at Cardiff, and I thought his impact on the team was massive in the sense that he anchored the side, let the two wing backs push on. I just done it perfectly, and then he didn't done the same against Liverpool on the the game following, and then he was dropped against Newcastle, and we went and got beat. But I'm not. I don't think the two were linked because we actually played well. Newcastle was just really unlucky in that, or stupid in that last half hour or so. But I wasn't surprised that he ended up having a good game, because when he's asked to do that role, he does it well. But like you two, certainly in my preview, I thought Davis should have been the guy to come in, given his age and probably his importance to the side long term compared to Schneiderlin. But hats off again. Yeah, Schneiderlin come in and done a good job.
Yeah, just because you mentioned the Liverpool game there, I just want to throw the question out there. Do we think the sirens have a psychological advantage? I think it's got to be raised as a legitimate question now. You know, no goals conceded since we've introduced it. And the atmosphere is 100% better. Like, it's significantly improved. I genuinely think it adds some sort of psychological advantage to the players and the fans.
Yeah, I really like it, really enjoy it, and it definitely has had an impact. But if we look at that run, we've had Liverpool at home, big, massive game. Probably one of them, that felt massive this season because of obviously how good they are this year. Then you've got Chelsea, another big game, Arsenal, and then United. I'd be interested to see like a Burnley at home on a Wednesday night, whether it would have the same impact.
Well, that was always, you know, the biggest point of discussion, particularly for Silva, is that, you know, we haven't been winning against these top six teams. Mm-hmm. And when was that? The first time we beat Man United since what, 2015?
It was quite a few games.
It adds that edge for those big games.
I like it. I agree. And
you're good, man. I was listening. I mean, you guys are getting into the exact question I had, though. So it's kind of pretty good psychic job by you guys. I was going to say, this momentum that we have at home, I mean, they've done a really, I mean, it was that group, the Originals, that have been a big part of trying to bring a legitimate, like, bring an atmosphere, you know, inject more atmosphere into Goodison, a stadium that's already conducive to being like really loud, and they've kind of made some suggestions, and a lot of people have been the sirens. I gotta be honest, when I watch it on TV, they play the sirens and they're in the tunnel. I watched, because I'm a nerd, I watched some fan videos of like outside the stadium, and I wish on TV they would play it outside the stadium to hear the crowd better, to hear the sirens better. I think atmospherically it would be so much better for viewers at home to actually appreciate that. Certain stadiums, they do that, and it is but things like that, how do we maintain this kind of, why our play is just seems like, you know, when we went to Fulham it was lacking severely compared to our home form. Is it home versus away form, and you know, just momentum and mojo from the crowd, you know, sustaining our squad, or is it just something just up here psychologically? We need to get a little bit tougher to be more consistent.
I think consistency is the big one. See, the Fulham defeat last week, although it was a real kick in the teeth, my opinion was something was going to give eventually, because there's, if you look at Everton, Wolves, Watford, even West Ham, Leicester, they have all got decent core sides. Like, they are good teams, and on the day they're as good as a top six side. But there's a reason why those sides, including us, teetering seventh and below, and the top six are above, because they just can't do it consistently week in, week out, and that's Everton's problem. So it almost feels, once you can put a good run on, but until you build that consistency, it's not going to last. And that's what happened to Fulham. And I just think away form in general has been a real Achilles heel for Everton for a long time. I know we had a good result at West Ham, but we've never really had a season since perhaps Martinez's first where we've been a great away side. So I think away form is a massive one. I don't really know what the blame is. Maybe there's that kind of mental fragility. But I think these results at home have been massive to building on that, because We hadn't beat a top six side in how long, and now to beat three of them, hold Liverpool as well, which, you know, we poke fun at Liverpool, but they are a phenomenal side this season, yeah. So to keep them out as well, I think there's been a bit of a monkey shaking off the back. So it's been an
progress,
interesting period.
Essentially, it's a step. Progress. It's a step. This whole thing is a process. It's not going to be an overnight thing. And mm-hmm. I think that's the way I'm looking at this. We go into every game thinking, mm-hmm. you know what, we can actually win this, instead of, oh, hell, let's just bunker back and park the bus. You know what I mean? We're actually having a go at everyone. Love that. Mm-hmm. Max, I've heard it said that we have trouble with teams that don't really go at us as much, and that's why we're playing a little bit stronger against some of these top six sides lately, because other team is kind of possessing the ball more, and then we're kind of pressing, getting the ball, and then turning it over really quick and countering. But with Fulham, it was more us possessing. You know what I mean? How do you feel about that?
Well, I think that's compliment to the pressing game that's been implemented by Marco Silva, and, you know, like Dave, he's really good at the fourth best in the league.
Mm. Yeah,
You know, and like I've said previously, I don't think the top six sides, those in contention for a Champions League space, so the likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United, I don't think they've been as consistent or as, you know, as elite as they have in previous years. So I think, you know, by that token, we have capitalised on some of their misfortunes. But, you know, but as you see in mainstream media, the immediate shift seems to be on how poor, you know, insert here, Arsenal, Chelsea, Manchester United have been. But obviously, after the performance like that, you know, with four goals, we're seeing that clinical edge now, where we're converting those chances. So you've got to give give Everton the due.
On Max's point there with talking about clinical edge, I just had a look and Everton's XG, which is basically expected goals, which assesses like the quality of a chance and gives it a score from 0 to 1, basically. I'll try not to go too into it now in case people don't care about it and they'll just be bored, which does happen. But Everton's XG was about 0.95 yesterday, which theoretically means, given the chances they had, they should have scored around one goal rather than four. So what that kind of shows you is Everton were clinical in the chances they had. Which makes sense if you think it's Sigurdsson's shot and Dean's shot. Like, 9 times out of 10, they wouldn't have led to goals. But such was the quality of the strikes they did. So I think he's spot on in what Max is saying about how clinical they were on Sunday.
Yeah, 15 shots, 8 on target. It seems to be commonplace. And as I said, I like to see this emerging as a characteristic of a Marco Silva side. It's like laws of averages, you know. Just have a pop. If you don't buy a ticket, you're not going to win the lottery. To use the most overused cliche in football history, but you know, we're getting shots in on goal, and the goal.
The other
now,
thing
which
is
great to see.
United's first shot on goal wasn't until the 86th minute.
Yeah,
I mean, and that is another trend that's starting to happen. We're holding teams to very few shots and even fewer shots on goal. That's nice.
Yeah, we've got to give the defense their full compliments for that performance.
Yeah.
And Keane, they kept tabs on the likes of Lukaku.
And Seamus,
well,
and fucking Coleman.
Yes. From the dead.
Yeah. The fact that he took that long break and came back and he just seemed like a different dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, I noticed him towards the end of that game struggling with his shoulder.
He was complaining about something. I didn't see what happened. He looked like he was complaining to the linesman or something. Like, didn't you see that? But I didn't see it.
Yeah, I saw it. I see he did post-match media duties, and it didn't look
well. Not that this is an exclusive, but I was fortunately eavesdropping. Fix that, please, Jerry. I was part of my kind of responsibilities. I have to go in the tunnel after the game to get the referee's card just to check all the stats add up. And Coleman went past, and somebody did say to him, How's the shoulder? He said, oh, it's fine, it's fine. And give it like a little, so fingers crossed, that shouldn't be anything long term. I hope anyway, because he has been really good, to his credit.
All right. Last thing, make it quick, only because it's a sore... I don't know how to feel about it, but would you have Lukaku back at this point, Max? Yeah? I mean, what? Yeah. How for how much?
Oh, pressing me a bit there. I think if you're evaluating on the spot, I don't know. I've been watching a lot more of Yusuf Poulsen for Leipzig lately, and I'm more in favour of getting someone like him in. So I'd rather go for him than Lukaku. But how much did we originally sell him for?
75 like or something?
Yeah, it wouldn't be anywhere.
And that's not including like the add-ons, 50. I believe. So, what do you think? He did seem a little salty after the game. I think he deleted. There was like a goodbye Instagram message or something from Everton, and he deleted it. I think he's a little angry. It's just banter, man. Just banter. Yeah.
He's got an absolute cheek after that performance at Old Trafford just after he left.
That's what I'm talking about.
Honest to God.
I think I got caught on camera on Sky Sports giving him a mouthful.
Did you? Yeah.
I'm so angry. We didn't have that. I somehow missed it. Because if Dave, would you have him?
I wouldn't have him back. No, I think, and I'm not in the camp of hating him and saying he was crap and this and I scored a lot of goals for us, but I'm hoping Everton have got a kind of new identity going forward, potentially looking at young exciting players, and obviously I know Lukaku's still young in the grand scheme of things, but I'd like to think Brands maybe has a different direction, and I don't really see Lukaku in the plans or want him to be.
Max, I actually think Paulson fits the mold of what Everton are doing moving forward compared to Lukaku. Like, I think he fits it more,
That's a good shot.
I don't know that... I mean, it's hard to sit there and be like, well, if Lukaku cost you 30 million, it's hard not to take him at that point. But he's not. He's not going to cost that much. Mm. He's going to be 50, 60, and you want to make sure... That you're, but honestly, I have an issue with his attitude still. I do. You know what I mean? There's something that Calvert-Lewin is doing, attitude-wise, selfless, that Lukaku just never really did. You know, I think there's a distinct difference.
And plus, if we remember his quotes as well when he left, and he talked about how Everton would set up in a certain way against the bigger teams, which was kind of sit back and wait to. Counter, we haven't really changed that kind of philosophy, but he was talking about it negatively. Whereas you couldn't imagine Calvert-Lewin having complained, chasing balls down. So I'd take him for his goals, which I assume probably what you were alluding to, Max. But yeah,
it's tough.
Else,
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like we were watching the game, and the crowd was booing Lukaku, and my kid. But it's like, I don't hate Lukaku. And I'm like, I know, I'm with you, all right? But maybe he shouldn't talk bad about Everton. You know? Maybe yeah. That's why they're booing him, you know? So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Everton 4, United 0, just like we predicted on our match preview.
I said 4 goals.
Oh,
and, didn't know how.
I don't know if everybody caught that. That was Max clutching at straws, just reaching so far.
Winning on a technicality, I think the goal.
Yeah, none of us picked a win. Max and I were the closest picking draws. So there we go. See, I'm trying to just ride on Max's claim on that too. But that's it for our reaction. Stay tuned. We got a U23 segment. We're going to go a little bit more in detail about the squad. They're the champions of Premier League 2. So we're going to talk about that with Dave here. And when I say I was talking about Max, because he's sort of a regular now, you know what I mean? So, yeah. And we're going to be talking about the Premier League 2 champion yeah, Everton squad, the U23s, they just beat Brighton 1-0. But this isn't about the Brighton match per se, and it's more just about their season and the players that may have some potential moving forward. Dave, you've seen them a good deal this season, yes?
Yes. Well, yes. About 50%, maybe a little bit less.
That's I think I caught.
I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting to be putting on the spot there. So yeah, but I've seen them enough.
You don't have to like show me your punch card. I guess the obvious thing for folks that maybe haven't seen them enough, or maybe people who have and kind of players with potential, that I think that's a big thing. Is players with first-team potential that are maybe with the squad right now. This season, I think Bas Sambo led the squad with 9 goals. Fraser Hornby had 4, Broadhead had 4, and Josh Bowler had 3. And then you look at the appearances. I mean, the players that played the most this season, Broadhead, Sambo, is it Adeniran?
Dennis
Adeniran?
I say Adrian, but I could be well off myself. It's a name I've only ever seen wrote, not spoke, so apologies if I have it wrong.
I've never actually heard someone say it, except for when we were like purchasing him, and I read that.
What is
so,
it, Max?
Yeah.
Do you know?
I don't know. It's A-D-E, isn't it? It starts with A-D-E.
Yeah, it's spelled A-D-E-N-I-R-O-N. So it's like Adnaron.
You know what, right? Like that. I was on a pod a few weeks ago with Altogether Now pod. It's another good show. Yeah. People should check out. But anyway, and this same subject come up, and his name again, and I got it completely wrong. I apologized, and I was like, I come away, I said to the lads, next time I'm going to get his name, and here we are a few weeks later, and I'm still completely messed it up.
I mean, he's a good young player. He made 21 appearances this season. I mean, he was joint in appearances, in terms of most appearances this season, with Broadhead and Sambo. He's a good player. I've just never heard people say his name out loud. That's just all it is. Markelo's a player who's also started to come on. He had 18 appearances this season. Feeney, Charlesley, Bowler, Hornby. These are the players that play the most. However, that doesn't necessarily give – because our third-string keeper – made some good appearances this season as well, in turn João Virginia. So, Dave, give us a lead off a little bit on when you've actually watched them. Who do you think has impressed, and who do you think's got some? And I didn't mention Lewis Gibson, who's been back in the squad recently too, who is a good young player. Mm-hmm. Who stuck out for you as having maybe some first team potential? And then we'll head it over to Max.
Yeah, I think Virginia's a. It looks like a really good goalkeeper. I think I might have covered his first game for Everton, and he really stood out. Commanding, good shot stopper, but you know, just very, very vocal. I think that's such an underrated quality within a goalkeeper, because it gives the defence so much confidence. Ironically, I saw the Toffee Blues tweet out that he may be the reserve goalkeeper next season. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not, but if it is, that's really good news, I think. Talking of Dennis, play it safe. I think he's a really good player, actually. I know we're kind of having a joke about him, but in that centre midfield, he's really, really good at kind of exploding into a press. The way Unzwe seems to play, certainly how to... Out of possession is almost like a 5-4-1. And they almost have a low block, and that does sit and relinquish possession for the opposition to bring it forward. But while they're passing it across their back line, trying to carve open spaces to play through, Everton have got this pounce in them that he often leads, where they'll just charge the central defender really quickly. It's resulted in a few errors leading to goals. So I think he's really good. I like Hornby. I think he leads the line well, but similar to Calvert-Lewin, he's not really scoring a lot of goals, but he's really good in the air, good at pressing the ball. Josh Bowler's seems to be kind of coming into his own a little bit. I feel like, did we buy him from Fulham or somewhere like that? Can anyone remember?
QPR.
Yeah, he seems to be doing quite well. Broadhead as well. So there is good talent in there. I've got a few reservations I'll come on to a little bit later after Max has had a little chat about it. But yeah, I think there's some good players in there. I'm not really sure who was ready to make the step up, except for the goalkeeper, though.
Gotcha. Max, what are your thoughts on U23 squad whenever you've seen them? Anybody who you've thought, wow, they stick out?
Yeah, I kind of echo what Dave said in that, other than the goalkeeper, I'm not 100% sure on who's, you know, ready to make that leap into first team. I think, regardless, you've got to give a huge shout out to Morgan Feeney this season, because if I'm not wrong, didn't he have a pretty bad knee injury not too long ago that he bounced back from? And he was part of the team that won it 2 years ago. And obviously, you know, for this season round, be wearing the armband and to be lifting the trophy, that's a huge compliment to him. You know, he's obviously got that confidence from being in a league winning team, and he's carrying that forward. And obviously the one do stick out is, like, you know, the handful that you see him play in the Europa League against Limassol. Like, I've seen a bit of Anthony Gordon, and I think Anthony Gordon looks a real good player. Sambu looks decent. And then you see the lads who get the big goals throughout this league campaign. I think it was Broadhead who scored at Anfield.
I think he did get a goal, Broadhead.
And Bowler obviously got the one against Brighton. So those players scored the decisive goals, and I'd be interesting to keep my eye on Lewis Gibson in the next coming years, because he seems, in terms of his career trajectory, you know, he looks on set to be, you know, an elite level player at the top level, from, you know, going from Newcastle to Everton for top 1 million, 2 million, which is big money for a player around that age. So, you know, it looks like he's got the skills and the mindset that looks to carry him into senior football. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes carrying forward.
I just read that story in the Echo interview with him, with Gibson. And not just because he has the same last name as me, just because I'm trying to find a lot of, like, player stories about how they got to where they are. And I'm, like, sending them to my wife, because we just kind of find this stuff fascinating, because, you know, we've got two kids that love the sport, and we want to kind of know how it works and what other people's experiences are like and that kind of stuff, like becoming their journey, you know, kind of learning their journey. So I totally sent that to my wife to check out, because he seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. Seems like he's a pretty sharp kid. It wouldn't surprise me, I don't know if you guys would agree, to see Feeney go on loan next season, maybe get some more consistent games at a higher level in order to kind of let people like Gibson and maybe, is it Azundis? Colin Azundis, is that his name?
Or Azunidis or something?
To see them get more minutes. And see some of these older guys maybe go out and maybe get a little bit more hardened, consistent. But there's some players, some of these players are going to be out of contract soon, though, by the way. And I'm curious, like a player like Basambu, who I think is out of contract soon, does Everton re-sign him, or is it a situation where they just sort of let him go because they're worried he's not ready to make a step up?
Yeah. Well, that's it. I think you've just really kind of hit the nail on the head at where some of these players are. They need to now go out and play competitive football. And, all right, the PL2 is competitive football, but it's between your own peer group, often playing in front of mums and dads. You know, you want to start going and playing football again for people who are paying the hard-earned money, for teams that they love. And then you'll kind of find out exactly where you are. And that's my biggest reservation about this current Everton side, under 23 side, is a lot of them, I know there's a few that have been out, but a lot of them who will not haven't got a lot of Football League experience. So there's a few of them I'd like to see go out there and kind of prove the worth, and then come back and we can kind of gauge where they're at.
It'd be nice to see, you know, in the coming years, to see maybe some of the players, these players coming through, establish themselves as you know, valuable squad players. Because, you know, if you look back on the years, you've got the likes of James Vaughan, Victor Anichebe, and then, you know, even Leon Osman, Tony Abbott, real kind of squad players that have been of use.
And
can I
go on, sorry, mate. No, I was changing direction, so I want to wait.
No, I was just going to say, because like, a point I said last time as well, like other than Wayne Rooney, Ross Barkley, Tom Davies, none of them have really been able to cut it for the first team. So,
yeah. Nice, yeah, we've had a few close calls, but none of them have really kind of come through. Yeah, the only thing I was about to say, and I suppose it's to an extent devil's advocate, putting a negative spin on it. It's not really meant to be like that, but it'd be nice to get other people's opinion on it. Obviously, you two included. But my only reservation is, right, so Everton's under Unsworth, you play like a, I touched on it already, like a out of possession, it's like a 5-4-1 formation, the line on the wing backs, but it's, they do sit quite deep and they seem happy to, from what I've seen anyway, now I must put the caveat in, I haven't seen every single game, but from what I've seen, they play completely different to how the first team play.
We had the same conversation at the beginning of the last pod, Dave. No. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It's, I think everybody touching on this is important, is the idea of having a style kind of implemented at many ages that feeds into the senior team. I mean, that's where you're going, right?
Well, yeah, because with at the end of the day, yeah, we want competitive underage divisions, of course, because you want that competitive edge to grow within. But these divisions are there to ultimately progress players. And if you've got a player who's fitted really well to David Unsworth's system, he's doing really well, and we go, right, okay, let's bump him up and give him a go. He's coming into a completely different squad, completely different playing style. And how is he going to make an impact in a 20-minute cameo appearance when it's a completely different kind of environment and playing style for him to come in? And I think it can hinder them. And I just wonder whether sometimes are we too results-driven at that level rather than progressing players? You know, we won the league two, three seasons ago. I can't remember which one. And I think Max has basically just said it. How many of them have really come through? I think Davis and Calvert-Lewin were half in, half out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were half in, half out, but they weren't playing every single week in there, were they? So, yeah, that's my only reservation. I'd perhaps rather see us playing. I said it's really difficult. You don't want to slant Unsworth winning the league and doing a really good job, but I said there's just maybe that playing that devil's advocate role. Yeah, there's a few
Like you said, it aids with that transition, doesn't it?
And
I just to ask you as well, because obviously when you look at this squad that have won the league, it seemed like it juxtaposes the, you know, the first league winning team, that they've been brought in, say within the last year or so, from different, you know, like for example Virginia coming in from Arsenal, Gibson coming in from Newcastle, Dennis came in from Fulham. Yeah. Like, you know, they've been brought in to do, you know, specific jobs, possibly for the Unsworth system. So, you know, I agree that it's 100% a hindrance on the transition into the first team. And then you look at the classic examples where youth production and that transition to football in the first team almost seems seamless, you know. Right now, it's the trendy thing to be on the Ajax bandwagon in it, and Barcelona have had that for many years, which kind of aids them with the transition. So, and I remember I think Denise Barrett-Baxendale saying about Marcel Brands that he wants the kids to all play the same way. Mm-hmm. So that might be, you know, I think this is something that we'll see emerge over the next couple of years.
Do you think that this is going to see Unsworth move on? Do you know what I mean? Because I think that's something he's going to need to do to take the step up anyway, you know?
Yeah, possibly. And obviously, he turned down the Oxford United job. But I'll say what I always say when it comes to Unsworth. He's so talented when it comes to youth football, like in terms of working with young players for the development, for, you know, the mental aspect, the psychological aspects. I think he does them the world of good. I remember seeing an article the other day criticising him for using too many F-bombs and what have you, but, you know, sometimes tough love is what you need at that level. And I don't know, obviously, you know, if you're speaking more objectively, yeah, he does need to make that jump to managing a first team himself. But who knows? I know that's something that's contested between Evertonians, that we just seem to employ former players for the sake of giving them a job. But you get examples such as David Unsworth where, you know, they prove to be successful.
Sorry, Max. I was smiling because you're talking about him dropping F-bombs, and immediately I thought of Big Lebowski when the stranger Sam Elliott says, "Do you have to use so many curse words?" The fuck yes. You talking about, man? Immediately I thought of, like, the dude says F-bombs, you know? So Unsworth should be able to. It should be fine. Dave, what do you think? Do you think it's a possibility that Bronze and Silva would talk to Unsworth about altering style, or it's a thing where they're just going to bring someone else in who may be a little bit more? Because, I mean, Unsworth, I'm sure, is a guy who can probably adapt, but I think he has certain styles that he prefers to run.
Mm. Yeah, I think hopefully that awkward conversation won't be necessary because, as we've just said, you know, where does he want to take his progression now? He's won the title twice at this level. He needs to go and bite the bullet and do it at a Football League club now and start earning, working his way up the divisions if he's good enough. You know, this really shouldn't be a job for life for him. So, yeah, I think when he does go, then we try and bring someone in who's going to be replicating something similar to what the first team are doing. I'd like to think Brands. If we're switched on enough to be talking about it, then they're probably 5 steps ahead of us. So hopefully that's going to be on the cards in the summer.
Awesome. All right. Anything else on the U23s, guys? Anybody? Any names you want to throw out there?
Congratulations,
Yeah.
I want to throw. I want to mention one other player that. That Marcolo kid, I do think he's pretty solid. He was brought in to be like a right back, but he started playing a little bit more center, like kind of center defensive mid, kind of that player. And he's looked good every time I've watched them. So that is another player. I don't think he's ready, but he still has looked solid when I've watched them. So, again, there's good talent. I'm really curious to see how they're going to move forward, though. That is the question, what next for the U23s? That really is the pertinent question. So,
yeah.
All right. So that's it for our U23 segment. It's not going to be the last one we do. I can see us doing another one in the next few weeks. May have another guest. Tease. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, the Everton-based quiz segment that pits David against Max in a cage match of Toffee's wit and might. Wow, that's the fastest I've ever done it! Alert the media, I didn't screw it up. This is a penalty shootout-style quiz. It is not a starting 11 quiz, so it may be a little harder than the normal quiz, Max. So, you know, Max being a little, you know, hungover. It's not the hardest, though. There's no math. So you don't have to worry about your brain deciding to turn on itself. So the way it's going to work is I'm going to flip some sort of, not a coin, but something similar. One of these guys will call it. One will get to go first, and it'll be like a shootout. One shoots, one tries to save. The one who's closest either makes it or saves it. We'll do best of four, and if it's still tied after four questions, we'll have a tiebreaker. It's like a shootout. Yeah. All right, so there it is. I mean, if you don't understand it by now, I don't know what to do for you. All right, really. So anyway, we're gonna. I don't have anything to flip except for this thing. So Dave, I'm gonna let you call it in the air. This is heads. This is tails. All right, call it.
Heads.
Dave has called heads, and regret to inform, yeah, it is tails. Look like this.
Okay.
Max,
I had no idea what I was calling. That was the worst equipment you've ever called. I wish people could see what you've just told us. It's gonna be heads and tails. Just for the podcast listener, can you describe what that was?
Okay, so I've mentioned this a few times. See, I used to use a memory card, but now I don't have an extra memory card, so that one's being used. So now it's a GoPro stand. It is a tiny little plastic stand. One side is flat, that is our tails, and one side is the mount, and that's the heads.
Excellent.
It's the only flippable thing I have. Yeah, that's it. So it's either that or I have you guys guess one or two, which really I should be doing anyway. Damn it, why didn't I think of that before? All right, so Max wants to go second. I don't even need to ask him. So, yeah, he nodded, so I was right. So, editor Ben, I'm assuming it's you, please cue intense quiz music. And there it is. It's Builder. You know, Ben, if you don't want to use the intense quiz music, you could just use some kind of game show music, whatever you want. I like when you're creative, just saying. And you can even leave that part in. Maybe it'd be funny if you shift music in the middle of it. So, here we go. Quiz begins now. Dave, it is your shot. Question one. Leighton Baines is ninth in the table of the most consecutive appearances for Everton in all matches. How many consecutive appearances did he make for Everton between the first game, and that was December 20th, 2009, and the last game, April 7th, 2012?
Jesus Christ.
Was that over... Why does it go to... Why does it stop at 2012?
I think those are consecutive appearances.
Oh, okay. How many did he make?
Yes.
From 2009, was that?
Yes, it was December 20th, 2009 to April 7th, 2012.
I mean, it should really just be some simple maths that I'm giving Max an advantage to get to here. I'd say 166.
166. All right. Max, what do you think?
I'll say... 200.
200. Actual retail price. Leighton Baines played in 110 consecutive games. 109 starts and one sub appearance. Dave makes it.
I mean, that should be half a point at best, really.
He was a good 56 away, but it's still closest. It counts. All right, Max, your shot, man. How much did Everton sign Aruna Kone for?
Oh, God. I've got another math for different numbers pop out in me, haven't I? 5 million.
Max says 5 million. Dave.
You know, ask me 2 years ago, I would have known this because I used to ram it down people's throats. I'm going to say... you know who's ruining me? James McCarthy for 13 million. I'm gonna be a horrible person here. Sorry, Max. I'm gonna go 4 million.
And you know, Dave, had you been a horrible person in the ad in the other direction, you would have been much closer. 6.5 million. 6.5 million. So Max gets you know, he makes a shot here. All right. So 1-1 after two questions. Dave, Andre Gomez is the most carded player for Everton this season, despite having the sexiest beard on earth. How many cards does he have this season?
Eight.
Eight, says Dave. Max.
Seven.
You're even bad, man.
Hey, it's the prices. It's the prices, right? Strategically. And guess what, gentlemen? Andre Gomez has 7 yellow cards this season.
Oh, you're off the Christmas card list.
So, Max, you make this, you win.
Really?
Believe it or not. Actually, no. Yeah, I was right. Yeah, that is right. All right, so Max, what was Joseph Yobo's first Everton squad number?
Oh, 16.
Max says 16. Dave?
I'll say 20.
Correct answer, gentlemen. 20 was correct.
That was Jugs. I'm thinking of Jugs.
So, tiebreaker, guys. Tiebreaker. So this one would go to this one goes to Dave. Joel,
yeah.
Or Yoel Robles. made 65 appearances for Everton. How many clean sheets did Robles have? Four, Everton.
He played 65 times, you said?
That's correct.
You know what? I'm not going to think it's that anything impressive. I'm going to go with 22.
22. Says Dave. Max. For the win.
17.
Oh, I swear if it's 17, I'll cry.
For those of you who are hoping to hear Dave cry today, you're going to have to wait to next time. Robles made 25 clean sheets.
Ooh.
His was closer. Dave has taken Max today in this cage match. Max's alcohol-addled brain actually did pretty well. I'll be honest. Max on a bad day is better than normal humans on a good day. Dave,
it feels a little bit like a loss because I don't know how hungover Max is actually, but I've scraped through by the skin of my teeth.
Max, good job, buddy. You know, next time, just you know, get home a few hours earlier and you'll have it. You know,
it was not easy.
I mean, really. So, Dave, congratulations. Your reward today is getting to pick the tune we close the show out to. So, what tune do you want to hear, or do you want people to hear as we close the show?
Okay, I'll choose Life of Riley by the Lightning Seeds.
Life of Riley by the Lightning Seeds. David, as expected, something way too cool for me to know about. So explain to me this the Lightning Seeds song, because have I heard it somewhere before?
Definitely would have. It has a connotation with some sort of, for those who can't see what I'm doing right now, I'm Googling for the life of me where it's what it used to be on, but it does have a football related, oh, I can't find it, sorry, someone will probably comment on it, on what it is, but it's just it's a really good song, and two, it does have football connotations. It used to be the theme tune of over in the UK. I think it was a football highlights program, but can't wait for someone to correct us on that in the comments section. But either way, it's a fantastic tune, and if you haven't heard it, you should check it out. It's a classic.
If you were using it in the soundtrack for a film, what kind of scene would it be in?
Maybe at the end where everything's worked out and you're walking down the street or something. I'd say that's a pretty much a happy ending tune.
Understood. That actually helps me envision what you're talking about pretty easily. Awesome. All right. So I like this. Every once in a while, these guys drop a little music knowledge, and it helps me expand my catalog. Max has done that a time or two. Terry has done that a time or two. And Tom did that with the one time he said, was it Belter? But Jerry Cinnamon, he even spells his name the right way. It was great. I've discovered all kinds of awesome shit from these guys. It's awesome. Guys, that's as we're closing out to Life of Riley, doing Life of Riley Lightning Seeds. I got that right. Now I only sound sort of old. It's time to end the show.
Jerry, this song is really your
is it my era?
I'll be honest. Yeah, like released 2nd of March 1992, which ironically is my date of birth. So no wonder I like
that
it.
I was in the heart of high school or at the end of middle school at that point. That's how old I am. Everyone now knows.
No, there we go.
Yes. As we're closing out to that, it's time to end the show. If you've been listening via podcast, thanks so much. If you would subscribe to the Top of Blues podcast, we'd really appreciate it. Leave us a kind review. It says, "Hey, Dave, we miss you, but we know why you're not here. Okay? It's okay. But keep feeding this awesome shit." And also, if you get a hair up your ass to see our faces, just know it's not that a great experience, but we do have a YouTube channel if you want to do that. They have beards. I don't. There you go. I spoiled it for you. So, yeah, subscribe to us on the YouTube channel, too, if you want to. Why not? It doesn't hurt you. If you want more Dave, check his Twitter. He'll tell you where he's got some of the stuff that he does. Otherwise, just keep an eye on all over the place because his stuff drops all over. Yeah. If you want more Max, check his Twitter. He'll tell you when he's going to be there. But also the Top Glue's website. He has analysis. Drop it on there. And just, you know, if you want to also follow the Top Glue's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I got no more plugging. No more. I'm done with the plugging. I'm unplugged. I have nothing else. Dave, thanks so much, man. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to be back. Enjoy.
Yeah, it. Max, take care of yourself, man. I look forward to a full strength Max later on.
Sure.
All right, guys. Take care. And for everybody else out there, hope you enjoyed the win. And here's to more happening later. And bye.